It's 420 somewhere, and welcome to Sex and Sativa with Alex. It's me, your favorite sex positive goddess, and welcome to the month of love. I do hope whatever month you're listening to this particular episode, it falls into a month of love for you. But recently I received an email, and a line in the email challenged me and set me back a little bit. One thing this person said was, Alex, I genuinely doubt that you enjoy sucking dick as much as you claim to do on this podcast. There's nothing all that exciting or more of a turn on when it comes to sucking dick. And at first I was like, I had to investigate myself a little bit, because when I get these emails from wonderful people who listen to my podcast, I like to take my time before I respond to them. While I am excited at the idea of the correspondence, before I do reply, I like to take my time so I'm not just carried away by the excitement of someone just sending me an email. So I started to think, have I been over-exaggerating my love for sucking penis? Have I been over-exaggerating my enjoyment of having dick in my mouth? Well, here's the thing. I fucked a number of people. Quite a number of people. I have had penis in my vagina. I have had penis in my mouth. I have had penis in my hands. And I understand the skepticism when it comes to overplaying the enjoyment of penis, but that's not it for me. I like to be interested in the partner I'm fucking. The partner I'm fucking happens to come with the penis, which means I will be interested in the penis. I like to stroke the penis. I love to smell it. I like to know what it tastes like. I think one of my favorite things to do is to have a soft penis in my mouth and coax it into hardness and fullness. It's an interesting thing to do. So no, I'm not exaggerating my love for having penis in my mouth. I'm not exaggerating my excitement about dick. I genuinely am excited by penis. I have no other way to describe it to you. I'm not lying about it. I do realize that not all dicks are the same. So I like to take my time and explore whichever penis I have in my, like, on my person, on my front, my mouth. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I like sucking dick. There is nothing that I'm doing when there's nothing I'm saying, or there's no way I am performing for my audience in regards to the enjoyment of penis. I've gone on and on in this particular intro about penis, but I promise it ties into this particular episode. I had fun doing this research, and I cannot wait for you to listen. I do hope you enjoy this episode. So, as I stated earlier in my intro, I have fucked quite a number of men, which entitles me to extensive knowledge into the depth of fucking. I wouldn't say extensive knowledge, just a lot of knowledge. And because I have admitted that I have fucked a number of men, I have also abused a shit ton of birth control. I say abused because this is not a case of like me just copying one or two emergency contraceptives or morning after pills. No, I have abused the idea behind contraceptive ammonia after pills, and it has affected me negatively. It really fucked with my hormones and has led me to make quite a few hospital visits. I will share that sometime soon on this podcast, but honestly, I'm not mentally, obviously physically ready to actually do that. So I will just share with you that back then I abused a lot of birth control, and it has led me to this episode that I've been excited to do for a while. If you listen to No Babies Allowed on this particular podcast, I talk at length about my unwillingness to have a child and my excitement and appreciation for birth control. But in talking about birth control, before we even get people to agree to go on birth control, there are so many myths, there are so many false opinions that really ruin people's perspective of going on birth control or being on birth control. I had a very negative experience with trying to acquire birth control very early on when I started having sex, and it turned me off. I don't know if people are driving by this time, and it turned me off of getting like birth control completely and just putting the onus on my partner, making sure he wore condoms, making sure I had condoms for both of us, and of course the emergency contraceptives or emergency plan B or some shit like that. So later on, after the abuse of the contraceptive had gone on and I was thinking of like a particular kind of birth control to go on, I was very confused, because while there are a few number of birth control options available for women out there, the one that I really wanted, I wanted to feel like a permanent birth control, was not or is not available to me because I am not married and I haven't had kids. So I need to do all of that before that particular option becomes available to me, which sort of led here. Alexandria, your favorite sex positive goddess, decided we are going to begin this month debunking myths surrounding contraceptives and contraception. A while back, I was speaking to a guy, and he was telling me about how he doesn't want to have kids, he doesn't think he's going to be an involved or a good father. Basically, the idea of fatherhood is not all that appealing to him. And I was excited. I was like, oh, really? Cool. So when are you getting a vasectomy? And he goes, oh, no, he's never getting a vasectomy. And I'm like, why? You don't want to have kids? Go ahead and get a vasectomy. And then he hems and he haws. And he starts to explain that he doesn't want to get a vasectomy in case, you know, there's a possibility in the future that he has to procreate. And I was like, you have siblings. They are willing to give your mom children. In fact, one of your siblings has produced a grandchild for your mother. So what's the harm? What's the pause? And then he says, oh, in case anything happens to the children of his siblings, he would like to at least have that as an option. And I go and I ask him, like, okay, so in waiting for the inevitable or the fake bad thing that will happen to your siblings' children, what if you do get somebody pregnant? And he's like, ah, he knows that one thing is that his parents, his mom is really, really excited, and that the minute he gets the baby pregnant, he's just going to, you know, introduce her to her mom, and he's going to take the child because the mom will be so excited to raise the child. And honestly, I just looked at him like a fool. I did call him a fool after that statement. I was just like, that's just stupid and foolish. You don't want to have children. You don't want to take the necessary steps to not have kids on the off chance that something horrible happens to the children that your siblings will produce. Sometimes, you're talking to some people and you just have like a headache. Like you just have a headache from the conversation, from the person's train of thought. Anyway, it was there and then I realized the person I was talking to is actually quite foolish. I won't even deny it because, no. Just, no. What was I talking about? Oh, debunking myths surrounding contraceptives. Yes. Myth number one, because I want to just go straight into this episode and then sprinkle life talks and love, because I have quite a number of like myths to debunk today. And when I was like researching this episode, and I'll come across a myth, because I will come across a myth, then I would do my research to say, is there any validity to why the myth exists, or is it just something that is an opinion that hasn't been fully fleshed out, but you know, people are just running with. So I will come across like some myths and I'll be like, there's validity to the reason why this exists, and there are some myths that I'm just like, no, fuck no. So myth number one, birth control causes cancer. The thing about birth control is there are multiple types of birth control. Have I done contraceptives as a whole on this podcast? I don't know. I have so many episodes and sometimes I can swear I have done a particular episode or I've touched a particular episode, but no, it was a rant in an episode that had nothing to do with the episode at all, so it just feels like I've done it. Birth control causes cancer. There are different kinds of birth control. There's hormonal birth control, there are natural birth control methods, there are barrier birth control methods, and I won't say birth control causes cancer. There are a lot of reasons for cancer and a lot of undiscovered and undiagnosed reasons for cancer. I can't stand, or I don't think there's any standing to saying birth control causes cancer. Everybody's body is different. What might be a trigger for you might absolutely not be a trigger for somebody else. I lived with someone for a long time that has allergies, and I always find it very interesting what triggers those allergies, and I got off my way to avoid it. But I would be in the same space and I'll be fine and nothing like that, but this person cannot even drink a certain type of water without being worried that they are going to flare up and break out into hives or some shit like that. So you just, there being this whole general consensus that being on birth control gives you a higher risk of being a female cancer patient is wrong. There are no direct correlations or causes behind birth control and the rise of cancer. What kind of birth control be causing cancer though? Using condoms? Implants? Oral tablets? I'm just like, I'm curious. But no, birth control doesn't cause cancer. There's no, it's not the birth control equals cancer type of thing. There is no statistics that show that all the women that are on birth control have cancer or are predisposed to cancer. No, all the people on birth control. Because, yeah, like, I wish men had more. Honestly, I just wish men had more birth control options. But I remember I was having a conversation with someone and we're talking about how men would fare well with more birth control options, and she was like, would they though? Like, yes, those options would be available, but reproductive coercion is way more normal and popular than younger me expected or younger me thought. But older me now is realizing that reproductive coercion is a big deal. What is reproductive coercion? Reproductive coercion is where you are tricked, or you're being tricked into carrying a child for a partner, not for the right reasons, but for whatever selfish reasons your partner might have thought up. But the choice to have this child is not necessarily up to you. This is not like an oops kind of baby. It's a deliberate attempt to attach you to your partner for life in terms of reproducing a whole ass child. So that kind of situation is way more popular than I thought or I anticipated. So when she mentioned reproductive coercion, I was like, oh yeah, there are so many shows and so many series where you see the male partner make a big deal about getting a vasectomy, and like the entire episode is about him getting the vasectomy, and then at the end of it he doesn't get the vasectomy anymore because, you know, he just doesn't. Or you see a female character that is not supposed to be pregnant get pregnant because the agreement between her and her male partner about getting a vasectomy was reneged on, but she was not made aware. So here she is, la-di-da-di-da, assuming that her partner's had a vasectomy. Well, he hasn't had a vasectomy, and then he can just give her a child later. So I started applying that to other birth control methods, and I was like, I don't mean this in a bad way. I'm not trying to say anything. Don't take this the wrong way. But even if I had a partner that was on like oral pills, like daily oral pills, I would still be on some sort of birth control. It's just like, first of all, it's a double up method. But also, if the idea or the advice is to get tested regularly, regardless of the fact that you're with one sexual partner or not, because, you know, while you are being faithful to your partner, you have no honest guarantee that your partner is being faithful to you. How am I not supposed to apply that to birth control? So next myth on my list: natural birth control methods don't work. Now, I have to say that while I'm skeptical about natural birth control methods, which include withdrawal and tracking your cycle and fucking around your fertile, not so fertile plans or months or days, I cannot 100% say the natural birth control methods don't work. Before the existence and the wide usage and acceptance of hormonal or barrier birth control methods, these natural methods have been what our ancestors have been using for years to accurately predict when to not and when to have a child. Now, I do have to admit that a lot of things have been lost in translation. A lot of things have been lost in passing it down from one generation to the other. But natural birth control methods do work. While I do not advise that one completely relies on natural birth control method, there are people that are physically, there are people that are physically incapable of using other birth control methods. For example, you might be allergic to spermicide that is found in condoms and found in, well, spermicide gels or some shit like that. So that's out of it for you. You might also be allergic to lubing condoms, so condoms are out of it for you. You might be allergic to pills. You might be allergic to the implants. IUDs don't work for you because, you know, your insides are not exactly conducive to having an IUD. There are so many fucking reasons why you cannot go on birth control methods that exist and are being used today, so you use the natural birth control method. Natural birth control methods do work. Just have to be very exact about it. It's all natural and shit. Birth control can prevent STI. This is one that I used to believe, and I am not ashamed to think so. I used to think that if you were on some form of birth control, then it also doubled as like an STI preventive measure as well, not just as like a pregnancy prevention system. I also thought it prevents STI, but the only form of birth control or contraceptives that prevent STI are barrier method birth controls. That means condoms, male and female condoms, dental dams for when you want to perform oral sex. Those are the only ones that are not even 100% foolproof at preventing STIs. Can I just say that STIs make fucking quite a chore. And with the way the world is going, I've seen, every time I come, I see so many, so many articles on how STIs are daily mutating and becoming more or less resistant, or do I say more or less resistant? More resistant. Are becoming more resistant to the antibiotics in, you know, all this, in the treatment of STIs. So I think STIs are horrible, and I don't know. I don't understand. Personally for me, I feel like there are certain advancements that should have been made, medically, at this stage of capitalism, if I'm being very honest, that haven't been achieved yet. I expected by now STIs would have been 100% eradicated. I expected that by now we would have better, safer, saner birth control options and methods for women. I assumed that by this time we would have flying cars and not just like Teslas that are having issues being charged. But you know, I don't want to, I'm not trying to judge. Actually, that's the line I'm trying to judge. So also, one thing I expected was the fucking complete eradication of STIs, not to see that STIs are mutating and becoming more resistant to their medication. What the fuck? Anyway, birth control can prevent STI, but it does matter the kind of birth control methods you are using to prevent STIs. Don't think that the daily pills, the daily oral pills that you ingest or the implant or an IUD also saves you from STIs. No, it doesn't. Hormonal birth control causes abortions. Huh? Although it's advised that when you are trying to for a baby, you go off of hormonal birth controls, as they rightfully so can prevent your trying to have a baby. And in some cases, the, how do I say, long-term usage of birth control can also be can also cause a little bit of like hiccup when trying for a child. I understand that, but to say birth control causes abortions is like you would now think that okay, taking the morning after pill is the same as preventing an abortion. No, it isn't. The morning after pill also will not cause an abortion. No, I'm very, very pro abortion. Well, just wish there were like easier methods, easier ways for abortion, because it shouldn't be this difficult, man. Okay, birth control causes weight gain. This is not exactly true. I repeat, it also depends on the kind of birth control you are going to be on. And also, the older you get, the more needs your body has. And in most cases, we just tend to ignore those needs because we have not been doing that before. I mean, you didn't used to work out 2 hours a day 10 years ago, so why would you continue to work out 2 hours a day now? But the older you get, the more your body changes, the more your body needs different type of shit, and you sort of need to adjust those different type of shit. Birth control in some cases can cause weight gain, but it can be managed by proper diet and exercise. But in some cases, I'm not trying to invalidate the weight gain that birth control causes, it might be related to an already existing issue in your body that you might not be aware of, and this weight gain is just bringing or making a way to highlight it. So yes, birth control can cause weight gain, but one, it depends on type of body you have. It also depends on what you are doing to maintain your health otherwise. Birth control damages fertility, though it does not. No, it does not. You see, I remember I said in my intro, like, I had a bad experience with birth control earlier. When I was younger, when I started having sex, I trying to do the smart thing. I had no idea about what kind of birth control I would need, what kind of birth control worked for me. So I walked into this clinic not far from my house. They attended to pregnant women. Yeah, they used to have antenatal for pregnant women, and it was very, you know, okay. And I got to the clinic. This was my first time. I walked to the chick at the counter. I got a card, and I was just sitting down. I was just like being patient, and I was very young. I was just being patient, and I was nervous about it. And I saw this really nice looking nurse, really, really nice. She wasn't like older. She was like, maybe she was in her 20s and I wasn't. So she was passing, and then we glanced at each other and then smiled. And then she walked up to me and she was like, hi, am I okay? Is that what I want? And I was like, oh, I don't know who I would see for a birth control appointment. And she's like, huh? I was like, I want to talk to someone as regards my options for birth control. And this chick sat down by my side and started preaching to me about how it is unnatural as a woman to be on birth control. She said she started off really, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I don't want to waste time, but she said a lot. So she started off really, really nice, advising me about how I did not need birth control, and if I was in a relationship with someone that I did not feel comfortable having a child with, that I should end it. Basically, I should only be fucking people that I see myself being mothers to their children. And I was delightfully countering every fucking thing she was saying, and then it turned nasty. It went from being really soft and patronizing to her raising her voice at me and telling me I'm a whore. Because, you know, in the course of the conversation, I was like, first of all, I'm fucking more than one person, so how do I make the decision between these people, which of them I'm going to carry their child? And, you know, it turned into her calling me a whore, a Jezebel, and I was the type that would lead men astray. And I remember, like, her colleague had to come and be like, is everything okay? And then she started speaking a different language, not one I'm familiar with, to her colleague. And both of them were looking at me, and it's just like, you come to ask, like, is everything okay? And then the nurse is talking to you, and you're listening to her, and both of you are in my front and pointing at me, and you're yelling, and other people are staring at me, all because I wanted to ask, do I take morning after pills? Like, do I take pills afterwards, or do I just get something in my system? So I walked out. I was not ready to be embarrassed like that at all. I had no energy. I did not want to share that kind of space, and I would not want to be in a medical situation with someone as judgmentally lacking, just someone lacking like that. So yeah, but I remember one of the things she kept on shouting is, I'm trying to look for birth control to damage my womb. I'm trying to look for birth control to damage my womb. And it was the emphasis on the damaging. I don't know why I now took it as, if I get an implant or if I get an IUD, then definitely I'm damaging myself. So I just didn't, and I was relying on morning after pills, which in the long run had an adverse effect on my health. So birth control damaging fertility is not a 1-2-3 type of thing. it's mostly not using birth control properly, not using birth control that should be good for you, not having proper information regarding the birth control that actually does damage to you, not the birth control itself and you. Older people do not need birth control. Yeah, I saw a lot of thought process, and when I was kind of confused as to why this is a myth, because I mean, you are older, so there is no need for you to go on, or for you to still be on birth control, because you know, the older you are as a person, man, woman, whatever you are, the older you are, the less active your reproductive organs become, because you have like a peak time. But let me just say something. Robert De Niro just recently welcomed a child into the world, and he's 80. Okay? I'm just saying. Like, he's just recently welcomed a child into the world, and he's 80. We have stories of like 70-year-old women that are acting as surrogates for their children. If they can still have children, do you think that they do not deserve birth control? I'm just saying, if Robert De Niro at 80 can still be shooting really active but no, I do believe older people should also be on birth control. As long as you're sexually active, you should be on some form of birth control. It's just the smartest thing to do. And I do feel if you take birth control as a whole seriously, maybe we can avoid more oops babies. Because I was reading this article about how, and this is quite controversial, but I stand by how gay couples tend to raise more well-rounded individuals. And I agree. Because with them, you have to want a child. And because you are in a homosexual relationship, you are not going to have a child the normal way, pin in vag. No, you are going to want a child. You are going to make active steps towards wanting a child. You are going to mentally prepare yourself for that child. It's why I always see like some guys, oh, I want to have my children early, I don't want to be taking them on school runs when I'm like 50 or so like that. But what if that's when you actually need better headspace to be a good father, be a good parent? Most times in heterosexual relationships, because pain, vag, heinous, eggs, fertilized, we have a child. Most heterosexual relationships that are with children just come about. But in homosexual relationships, in those cases, they need to want the child, like mentally and physically prepare for the existence of the child, mentally and physically prepare to be parents. And if you have a little bit of time to prepare yourself to be a parent, to want the child thing the right way, you tend to do better than those that just did, oops, we're pregnant now, let's get married, let's stay together, let's co-parent, you know? So, that just makes sense. You can argue with me all you want, you can think it's wrong, you can think that because it is Adam and Eve in the Bible, that it means that only heterosexual people can have good parenting skills. But I want you to look at the world in general, be very fucking honest with you. Most of the parents that you know, have known, will know, do not deserve to parent. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just think we should leave parenting to people who actually do want the child. And not for the selfish reasons of, oh, I want to live a long life, I wanna pass down my legacy, or I can't be the only one in my family not having a child. Whatever other fucking selfish reason you want to have kids for. But that's the funniest thing. Having kids is selfish, not having kids also selfish. So it's like a both sides of the coin type of scenario. Older people do need birth control. As long as you're sexually active, you do need birth control. That's all there is to it. The morning after pill is like an abortion. I already covered that. It is not like an abortion. It is a different fucking pill. It is just to prevent the sperm that is inside of you from fertilizing, basically. Or your eggs from being very, very receptive to the fertilization of sperm. Birth control causes blood clots and stroke. Now, the health benefits or the health implications. The health implications of being on any form of birth control can vary from person to person. So I wouldn't say it causes stroke and blood clots, but in some people, using this can cause stroke and blood clots, which is why it's advisable for you to have a conversation with a medical professional before going on any birth control, which is what I was trying to fucking do. And that bitch was all, "Oh, you're trying to damage your womb, but you're a whore and Jezebel," which, by the way, I have a different take on Jezebel in the Bible. But I've already done some type of like, I'm already stepping in murky waters with this episode, so let me leave that there. Withdrawal is an effective birth control method. No, the fuck not. I mean, yes, it is a natural birth control method, but it is not 100% effective. How are you 100% sure that there is no sperm inside of you? How are you 100% sure that no sperm left your penis? Because pre-cum can get someone pregnant, okay? So you'd know you're about to orgasm and you are 100% sure that nothing just shoots out, not even a little, like a little, like nothing. Withdrawal method is effective as a birth control, but it's not the most effective. That's what I'm gonna say. Orgasms ruin birth control. Yo, this was the one that was like, wait, what? Apparently, some people are of the belief that if you can orgasm, or if you have an orgasm, then you've ruined the birth control. Orgasms ruin the effectiveness of birth control. And no, abso-fucking-lutely not. Orgasms do not ruin the effectiveness of birth control. Women having orgasms do not ruin the effect of birth control. It doesn't ruin you wearing a condom. When having an orgasm, it does not ruin the, or it just doesn't. Orgasms do not ruin birth control. Okay? One of the disadvantages of orgasms is not ruining birth control. In fact, should I have the disadvantage of having orgasms? I'm going to see how fucking short that episode is going to be on this podcast. Hi, disadvantages of having an orgasms. Dead air. Antibiotics ruin birth control. Antibiotics do not ruin birth control. They just help dull the effectiveness of birth control. So you have to be very, very careful. There are so many stories of, oh, I was sick and I was on antibiotics and then I had sex but I was still on birth control and it did not work. Like, there are so many stories of birth control kind of dulling the effectiveness of antibiotics dulling the effectiveness of birth control, but no, it doesn't ruin birth control. In fact, you have to be very mindful of drugs you take when you are on birth control, especially when you are taking like the ingestible pills and hormonal birth control. You have to be very fucking mindful. That's why it's good to, like, when you're taking meds, you consult with professionals, you speak to pharmacists. Will this affect my birth control? Okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much will it affect? Is there an alternative to this one? Because sometimes nobody, like, they don't know what drugs you're on when they're prescribing shit. So it's good to be like, oh, I'm on this. And they can be like, oh, this shit's not going to work. Let's do this. But That's an ideal world where all the medical professionals listen to you without thinking that you are being silly. It's a world where this is like a fantasy world where you go to the hospital, receive your treatment, and you come back out. Realistically, it doesn't work like that, which is just so fucking stupid when you think about it. All right. All birth control methods work right away. No, the fuck not. You need a little bit of time for birth control to become effective in your body. Prior to you using that, your body was running on a different cycle. Your body needs to get used to this cycle of whatever birth control you're on. And then it now needs to get used to your body and the birth control and the sperm and just reproduction in general, so I can do its job. Okay, so even vasectomies don't work right away. Doctors advise that after getting this vasectomy, like, you still have some active sperm cells. So don't just get a vasectomy and think, oh, you cannot impregnate someone again. You actually absolutely can. Okay? So all birth control methods do not work right away. Don't assume that just because you're now on birth control, you can go on like a fuck spree and you'll be pregnancy safe. No, it doesn't work like that. Birth control methods will make your hair fall off. What kind of myths are we propagating to just stop people from having good, great sexual health? Yeah, I know why. Because there is no sex ed anywhere. You can't go to schools and get sex education. You know, they're too young. You can't be a young adult and get sex education. You know shit. You also can't be an adult and get sex education. Where would you find those resources anyway? So I just, like, I understand that getting sex education is difficult, proper sex education, because sometimes it seems like those people that are doing sex ed in a fun, popular way are not being as specific or as exact as they should be. You also cannot trust the information that you are getting. I completely understand, even from your content creators, most times because they are not professionals. That was how I used to feel about this podcast before, which is why when I had opportunities to get certification and get myself educated on sex education, I did. I do. I will. So, birth control will not make your hair fall off. As I said earlier, it depends on your body. If you have a pre-existing condition or your body might be predisposed to act a certain way towards a certain birth control, it can manifest in certain ways or different ways. But if you begin birth control and you start seeing side effects, like, maybe you start getting nastier headaches or more headaches, you just feel your body differently, you feel your body being off, then please see your doctor. I don't have any more advice except please see your doctor. Yo, I'm supposed to use this fucking gaslighter. I was trying to get an episode ready prior to now and I was using the gaslighter, and it took like forever before the thing could come on, and then I started talking and I went back and I played the episode and I was like, fuck no. So I got rid of it. Oh, I'm also very, very thankful that I can record this episode not long after releasing the other episode, because I've been having some power issues on my end. It's been a fucking hellish journey. So it's not stable now, but I can carve a little bit of time and do this, and I'm very, very thankful for that. IUDs can cause pelvic inflammatory disease. PID is something that is not even discussed as well. I became aware of PIDs when I was reading about why Kegels are not advised for every person. Prior to then, I used to be of the opinion that, oh, you know, all you need to do are Kegels, all you need to do are Kegels. And after a while, obviously, like, I think after I started the podcast, I became aware that not every person can do Kegels, or not every person's advised to do Kegels, because there are some people that have pelvic floor issues or pelvic inflammatory diseases, and this can come off, PIDs can come off because or due to a multitude of reasons, like a lot of reasons. So I wouldn't say IUDs cause PID, but in some cases, having an IUD can actually activate or flare up your pelvic floor, which then causes, well, I wouldn't say it then causes, but it can be one of the reasons I have pelvic inflammatory diseases. I can't wait to talk to a health professional on this podcast regarding some things. I'm also looking forward to a few guest episodes. I'm just hoping they turn out the way I expect it to be. I am grateful that I have the studio here, but it's so difficult getting guests on the podcast because, first of all, this is niche. Not every guest is going to want to move. I get that. Also, like, just it's just super difficult, especially when you don't have like the best like studio equipment, functional stuff like that. So if you love me and you want to give me like awesome head-to-toe podcast equipment, I would accept that. Thank you so much. It's Valentine's Day. I'm accepting Valentine's Day gifts, okay? Cash, gifts, both. I'm accepting it all. I love Valentine's Day. In an ideal world, I would host Valentine's Day parties every year. What am I doing for Valentine's Day this year? I have a cookie recipe that I'm... Fuck, I sound so old. I have a cookie recipe that I'm excited to try. I'm looking forward to it. Valentine's Day also falls on Ash Wednesday. If you're new to this podcast, well, I identify as a Catholic sometimes. So, that's like a holy day of obligation, so... I'm not going to do anything all that crazy. I have plans that I'm making, but I'm not ready to share them now. I'm hoping they actualize by the time this episode is up and me saying it. But I have plans for Valentine's Day. I will also love you. Some of those plans includes going to accept or receive packages from the wonderful people that listen to my podcast. Thank you. Birth control will imbalance hormones and make me crazy. See, it's this type of myth that I enjoy debunking on this podcast. And I'm just realizing that every fucking season I've had a debunking myth episode. And I love that. I love when I'm able to see little threads of continuity throughout my podcast. It just... I'm thankful. My podcast is going to be 4 in May, in March actually, sorry. It's going to be 4 in March, that's next month. And I am so excited. I am so fucking excited, which is why I'm pausing the episode midway to tell you that I am hoping, praying, wishing, and actively working on getting like sponsorship so that I can do like a fun giveaway. I enjoy giving back and I absolutely hate that I've not been able to do that on this podcast to the wonderful people that have been listening to me abroad and in Nigeria. So I'm hoping that I I've been sending a couple of emails. I haven't been getting the responses I would like, but I'm hoping I can do like a fun giveaway to celebrate 4 years of doing this. And if that doesn't work, I do hope that I will be here again next year, getting ready for my 5 years in podcasting and doing another fun, awesome giveaway. So, yeah, birth control will not make you crazy. This is not like the dark ages where, you know, if your woman has issues, you're just gonna drop her in like a mental hospital so she like go crazy or some shit like that. No, they just gonna drop her in one building to or the forest to go away or to just wild her crazy away. No, birth control will imbalance your hormones in the worst way. If you don't, like, if you are not a fan of hormonal birth control, there are other birth control methods out there. But saying birth control in general will imbalance your hormones and make you crazy because you're on birth control, guess what? There are a shit ton of people on birth control and they are not crazy. I mean, crazy is relative. So, what do you call crazy? Someone called me crazy for doing this podcast, so. And I'm not on birth control. Yeah, I stopped my birth control when I became celibate. There was just no need for it, which is why, like, I thought, like, last one of the issues I kept on ruminating on last year was like, what kind of birth control am I going to go on when I go back to fucking? Because I did not get dick in my vag last year. I didn't go on birth control, and I'm not on birth control. Although, trigger warning, because I'm about to get a little bit morbid, but I do worry, especially that I'm not on birth control. I do worry. I have this reoccurring fear that I'm going to get raped, and then I'm going to be trapped somewhere for a short period of time after said rape that will not allow me to get birth control and treatment after, and will not allow me to get an abortion if pregnancy does occur. That is like a recurring nightmare for me. So, like, every time I think, oh, I should go on birth control, I'm just thinking, like, anyway, I didn't mean to veer off like that, but I feel like I should be honest. And some people might think, oh, as a woman, your fear is you don't want to get married. Or one of my fears is that I'll get raped and I'll be unable to have access to emergency contraceptives. I'll be unable to have access to abortions and I'll be forced to carry my rapist baby long term. I will kill myself. I'm not even joking. Like I said, trigger warning, I do not want to have a child. To be able to subject myself to that is just horrible. So it is a recurring nightmare for me. I guess that's my own brand of crazy. Birth control hurts. That's another myth. Birth control doesn't hurt. What is hurting you? Is it the implants that you're getting that is hurting you? I know I'm focusing mostly on birth control that women use, but with the exception of like vasectomy and condoms, what are birth control to men use? A withdrawal method. And then helping their partners count their cycle and fuckings. I mean, they do use other methods, my apologies. But birth control doesn't hurt. The implant doesn't hurt. If you get an implant in your arm, at best it's going to be sore for a few days. Most 7. If it surpasses that, please go and see a doctor. If you get an IUD, that hurts. First of all, that shit is painful as fuck. It should be categorized under general surgery. It is horrible. And then nobody talks about how, like, you're on your period and it distends. Like, you can just, like, you can have contractions that can just expel. Okay. IUDs are painful. I agree, but most cases, if you're lucky, you just go through life with painless birth control methods. But yeah, it depends on the method you're trying to use. But to say it hurts, for the entire duration of using the birth control, it shouldn't hurt. Sure, initially, yes. For a while, yes. But not the entire thing. Certain times, just like I said on IUDs, like when you're on your period, you can actually, like, you can have contractions that just allow them to distend. So, IUDs can tear through the lining of your uterus. This is a one in, is it 2000? Fuck, I wrote this down. Sorry, I can't find it right now. This is a one in 2000 chance of happening. Yes, there are some IUDs that do leave where they are supposed to go and tear through the lining of your uterus, but it doesn't happen every time. But I am obligated to let you know it does happen once in a while. But one in 2000 cases is not, I wouldn't say it's not bad, because I'm not the one in 2000 cases, so I don't know how that is. And I don't know how whoever that was, the one in 2000, actually handled their shit. So, IUDs can get lost in the uterus. I know we've all seen those pictures of babies that come out holding an IUD loud and proud, you know, mopa. And like I said, sometimes an IUD does escape from where it's supposed to go, but to get lost in your uterus is such a fucking stretch. Okay? No. IUDs, another myth is, I've had unprotected sex and I did not get pregnant, so I do not need birth control. So men think this. You've been having raw sex all of your life and you've never gotten any woman pregnant, and as such, well, there are a lot of mosquitoes here. This is the season, man. I think I've complained about mosquitoes in almost every fucking episode this season, which is just so fucking wild. I should re up my malaria tablet. Yeah. Back to birth controls. I see some men that think that, you know, you've been fucking raw all of your life and you've never gotten a you've never had like a pregnancy scare come your way, so of course you don't wear condoms. You know, you can quote unquote pull out, you're good. And you have some babies that are like, oh, they fucked even while they're on their period, fertile point, and they've never, like, you've had sex well for years without having to get on birth control, and because of that you do not need birth control. Just because you did not get pregnant does not mean you don't need birth control. And as in, just because you've been having unprotected sex and did not get pregnant does not mean you don't need birth control. That's just like playing, it's like gambling. Okay, you can gamble and you win. Some people are really good gamblers, some people are great at gambling, some people gamble and then they win. Don't bet like that all the time, you will lose. Just saying, I don't want to talk about that. You will lose, you will lose, so just don't do that. No need for birth control if you are not sexually active. See, now this is not a myth as much as it seems like common sense. I am not sexually active, and as such, I am not on birth control. I don't have any plans to get like an oops sexual active. Like, I have no intention of just like casually falling on some dick. No. When I want to have sex, I will make plans to be on some sort of birth control. But like as I said earlier, I have this recurring nightmare. So, you know, it's one of the reasons I just think if I'm on birth control, maybe like that nightmare, I will have other nightmares, but not that particular one. But, you know, move on. But there are other reasons why some people get on birth control and go on birth control. And it's not just, what the fuck is that? And it's not just a, I'm trying to prevent pregnancy type of thing. But I do agree that if you are not sexually active, you don't need birth control. So you can just take a break. Like, for example, you want to begin a celibacy journey. As you begin a celibacy journey, you can take out your birth control and just exist. if you don't know, like, for example, if you are on some sort of like a daily, like you're taking pills daily, I would advise you go see your doctor before you actually do stop birth control. Yes, you might wake up and want to make that decision, but actually seek medical advice before you stop your birth control, because you are not sexually active. And if you do have plans to be sexually active, make plans to A, get on that birth control, B, take time to wait so that the birth control is active. Which is why, like, I was talking to someone last year and I thought we were gonna fuck, and I made plans to, like, and I assumed, like, I was just like, fine, if you make plans to fuck in, let's say, September, I should get on birth control, I should already be on birth control by June. So, yeah. Be proactive like that, but don't just decide, oh, you want to celebrate and as such you're just gonna get rid of your birth control. No, that's not, I don't know where these mosquitoes are coming from. That's not healthy. Oh, look at this window. I should change my nets. I will change my nets. Just got a tad more expensive than I expected. Yeah, the window is open. That window is open, so that's why I'm having a mosquito galore. Another myth is douching after sex is an effective birth control method. No, the fuck it's not. I hate douching. With everything inside of me, I the idea of douching is very, very annoying. I mean, I get the idea of douching. I'm just not a fan of douching. I will never advocate for douching. If you do not know what douching is, please take your time. This is now Alex's advice and assignment to you. D-O-U-C-H-I-N-G. Go look it up. Not a fan. Douching after sex is not an effective birth control method. Please, 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 please. Just because you wash out sperm after sex does not mean it is an effective method of birth control. Man, these mosquitoes are everywhere and I just can't stop, like, touching myself, like, not in like a sexual way, which is annoying because I'm not even wearing like a bra, so it should be like a sexual way, but it's not. Okay, douching after sex is not an effective birth control method. Just, it's not, it doesn't work. It's not effective. Whoever is telling you that douching after sex is effective wants you to get pregnant and hates you. No. Certain sex positions are contraceptives. Okay, I was curious about this, and to people that feel that there are certain sex positions that are contraceptive, what positions are those? What positions are those that are so effective at preventing pregnancy from happening and can act as birth control? I'm curious. And if this was like part of like the natural method of birth control, I really truly want to know, like, what positions act as effective birth control? Because I want to do those positions. I want to try. I mean, I think that people would love to hear that on this podcast. Hi, positions you can get into if you want to avoid having a baby. This myth, when I was writing it down, I got triggered. And I don't mean that in like the fun. I really got triggered when I was writing down this myth. You can use a plastic wrap or balloon if you do not have a condom. A few years ago in Nigeria, anybody that is not in Nigeria can actually just Google this and get more information. But a few years ago in Abuja, the nation's capital, at night, the Nigerian police, a faction of Nigerian police, or some people like the Nigerian police, I can't remember. Yes, actually, Nigerian police gathered and quote unquote arrested a bunch of women at night from different walks of life, claimed that these women were prostitutes, and sexually assaulted them overnight. One thing that stood out to me was that they didn't even use condoms when raping these women. They used pure water nylon to wrap their penises and rape these women. Pure water nylon. If you are not Nigerian, pure water is drinking water, but instead of it in a bottle, instead of it to come in a bottle, it comes in like a plastic sachet. It's what I drink, it's what I use, it's what most of Nigerians drink as water as well. So these nylons, this waste is always readily available almost everywhere. And these dogs used pure water nylon to rape these women they accused of being prostitutes for hours. I remember the morning I woke up and I went on Twitter and I saw this news. I vomited. Like, not even a joke, I vomited. And I just... That was horrible. Back when I was in uni, there was this guy that raped somebody very, very young. This pedophile used to use black nylon to wrap his dick. Condoms aren't like that. Condoms were, what the fuck's that sound? Well, I needed a comic relief. Condoms weren't that expensive then. So for you to just be using black nylon to wrap your dick, like, it doesn't even stay on. When I started doing condom reviews, I started realizing that condoms have sizes. They are like gold circle sizes, like the width are different from the width that Durex uses. That sound is really annoying the fuck out of me, and I know I'm not going to be able to edit it out. So anyway, so like there are a lot of width when it comes to condoms, and everybody's penis has different sizes. No two penises are the same. So I realized the importance of having a condom that fits. You cannot use a plastic wrap or a balloon or nylon as a condom. It doesn't work. That's horrible. Get a fucking condom or don't fuck. That was tough. So I'm nearing the end of the episode, and the last myth I want to debunk is that urinating and bathing after sex is a contraceptive. It is advisable to urinate after sex, it's advisable to shower after sex, but not because it prevents pregnancy. It does not act as a contraceptive, it's just good hygiene. Okay, and that's all debunking I'm going to do. Oh yeah, because it's the month of February, I wanted to give a little bit of a challenge to the wonderful people listening to my podcast. I am preparing an Erotica episode for this season. The numbers on Erotica seems to go up, And as such, I will take advantage of that. You all love erotica. I love producing and writing erotica. So if you want me to read an erotica that you wrote on the podcast, please let me know and send me an email at sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. If you want me to write an erotica for you, a custom erotica for you, that will take a while longer. That might be more personal, because I don't want to put any pressure on myself. That doesn't end up well for me. So if you want me to read an erotica you wrote on the podcast, please send me an email at sexandsativawithalex@gmail.com. if you want me to custom an erotica for you, also let me know. If you also are looking forward to the erotica episode, let me know. I love feedback from you guys. I love getting emails. I love conversing and communicating with you guys regarding the podcast and your personal lives. And I did not realize how I would find it really, really wonderful and good for my heart. So thank you. Thank you very, very much. One of the goals I have planned for the podcast this year is to get it to over 50,000 listens. I know, considering I celebrated 10,000 listens last year, but I feel like I can do it. Besides, it doesn't hurt to be delusional. So, one of my goals is to get to 50,000 listens before the end of 2024. I want to see us run the podcast up. Please don't hesitate to share my podcast. Please share my podcast with people. I am looking forward to meeting, talking to, and having my podcast reach more sex positive people. I'm also looking forward to my podcast reaching people that are not sex positive but are willing to learn. People need fun sex ed in a way that's relatable, which is what this podcast is about. So please share my podcast. Let's get to 50,000 listens before 2024 ends. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening to this episode. I had fun. I did say I was looking forward to this episode, and I am, and I'm done, and I'm going to go and sleep. Okay, somehow, for some reason, it's been like a super horny month for me, and I don't know why. Okay, I'm getting regular orgasms. I should not be this horny, but I am. So yeah, I do hope this helps you when it comes to making some fun birth control methods. I do hope you listen to this episode and wish you had this kind of episode when, or this particular topic when you were choosing birth control options. I do hope it helps. Thank you so much for listening. I do hope you have amazing orgasms and think of me. Or don't. That's your prerogative. Until I come back for your listening pleasure. Bye for now.